This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
And we're back. This is Geek Squawks. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage. Matt, what's going on with Facebook? A lot of people are ranting about Facebook's autoplaying videos.
I hate autoplaying videos.
Tell me about it.
I have just spent the last few weeks installing scripts and disabling autoplay on all of my computers and tablets.
You really hate them.
Oh, no, I really hate them because I go to salon.com a lot and every single page has at least one and often as many as three autoplaying videos. And now Facebook has decided that in addition to making the videos autoplay, they now have sound as well.
The video starts playing with sound.
They've been sort of covertly introducing this across the world, apparently, like slipping in the sound, because you don't want to open Facebook, and you know we all do it. You sit in a meeting and you quickly open Facebook when it's a little bit dull and have a look. The last thing you want to have is cute kitten going meow in the middle of your meeting.
And you're lucky if it's just a cat video.
Well, I was going to say if it's spring break videos or anything along those lines, you're going to be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
You can actually turn it off, but it's really deeply embedded in the settings, it's even more deeply embedded in the iPhone and
Android.
Mac settings than it is in Android. It's easier to turn it off in Android, actually, than it is in some of the other platforms. But you have to go into your settings. You have to look for a toggle called sound and deactivate it from there. But I would advise you to because it's horrible.
Yeah.
And this is a feature that
nobody asked for.
nobody wants.
And I'm sure Facebook uses big data analytics and is trying to understand. I bet you there are so many people who would just pause the video or cancel it.
It's an advertising issue
because
advertisers don't want their message to be missed. But I think this is going to be a good example of consumers making so much fuss that Facebook has to stop this because nobody wants this.
Yeah. Matt, you remember Marvin, the depressed robot from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy? Well, it looks...
I have actually modelled most of my life
based on
Marvin.
That?
Yeah, I have a huge brain and I'm miserable.
Well, I think we have found your soulmate then, Matt, because in Washington, D.C., there is an office building that actually used a security guard as a robot. And we talked about this just earlier on the show. And, you know, malls are replacing security guards with these autonomous robots that could operate the mall for 24 hours without a meal, you know, and without even paying a salary in it. So it saves a lot of money. And recently, though, it's a very sad story. One robot decided to just kill itself. It just sort of slide down into the fountain and just
into the fountain. We're not really.
I'm so
sure
sorry.
Why.
I'm laughing. It's so sad.
No,
though,
I know. I've got a feeling that this is, you know, this is another example of the technology not being quite where it should be before we actually start implementing these things. I have a feeling that the sensors actually find it difficult to determine between a tiled floor and a still fountain. I'm just guessing.
And is this also a programming issue here?
A programming issue, but also, you know, anyone who's used one of those robo vacuum cleaners at home or those robo mowers, they really do have a mind of their own. You can program them to do whatever, but actually they just want to live underneath the TV
all the time.
Behind the sofa. Yeah. You know, they have no real interest in being out doing their job. And I think the robot was the same. He just got tired. Yeah. Maybe it was a bit hot.
It could
wanted
be as
to cool
well.
Off.
Yeah, probably. We'll never know what exactly went wrong with this office, a robot in Washington, D.C. But you can actually find the video on Twitter. It's just hilarious to see. And it looks like a rocket ship kind of robot.
It does.
Just about knee height.
Yes.
It looks really cute. Like it's something I would pet if I were to see it in a mall. And then, you know, it's so funny because I'm just picturing myself entering this mall. I see this robot and I pet it. And then it just gets depressed and it zooms away into the fountain and falls, you know, flat face into the...
Well, we'll probably see a news report in a couple of days from North Korea saying, missile successfully landed in the US.
Now, Matt, we've made fun about Bluetooth many, many times on the show. It's become like a running joke. But I think the joke's on us now.
Well, it's not so much Bluetooth that's the joke. It's Bluetooth speakers. People think, I know, I've got an incredible idea. I'm going to put a Bluetooth speaker in the toaster, in the fridge, in the kettle. Yeah. In, yeah. Anyway, yeah.
The
I'll
Bluetooth
stop now.
Itself is
Bluetooth
is great.
Really cool. Yeah.
The people who create products and get Bluetooth to be part of it and what they use Bluetooth for is absolutely ridiculous. Some of them is just absolutely ridiculous. Now, the problem with Bluetooth is that, you know, it's one of those, you know, low power, low range kind of network. Bluetooth, however, is getting a huge upgrade this time around. And it's because of the rise of IoT devices. We've talked about, you know, how you mentioned about it, you know, Bluetooth toasters, Bluetooth fridge and microwaves. And the issue is that these devices need to talk to each other, but sometimes they're too far away. And Bluetooth is just feels like it's a throwing distance. And anything more than a throwing distance, it just doesn't arrive. So Bluetooth SIG, which is the company that oversees the Bluetooth standard, they are releasing a specification for Bluetooth mesh. Now, if you're wondering what mesh networking is about, it's one of those where it's using, you know, more devices around the area who have Bluetooth abilities to send a message. It's like it's a messenger.
When we have a traditional local area network or a wireless one in our home, those signals have to be quite powerful and quite robust. What we're doing with these kind of mesh networks is everything's piggybacking on everything else. So instead of having this big, powerful transmitter that consumes a lot of power, you have a lot of small devices that just leapfrog the signal one to another.
It's just
so
passing the beta.
You could, let's say it was a messaging app, for example, to message you, it might go through
seven toasters,
a fridge. it's not going to go very far. It's just going to wrap you around the home.
Yes,
but it also could go through 8 or 9 other people's phones before it gets to you as well. Mm. Obviously encrypted so that they can't see what's going on. Yeah. But everyone is sharing this kind of Bluetooth signal with everything else. Mm.
And mesh networking system works with chat messaging apps. I remember in the Hong Kong protests a few years ago, there was a mesh networking app that people used to communicate with each other because, you know, cell towers were just being blocked and, you know, you couldn't rely on data. So you had to rely on, you know, your power of your phone itself to be a network itself.
I was actually just looking at the app on my phone a second ago. There's an app called FireChat.
FireChat does
just that. And it's been
amazing stuff.
Sporting events, music festivals, things where you don't have access to a network or where the grid is overloaded. It also has great potential for natural disasters as well. Yeah. When the networks go down but people still have power in their phones, so it gives that capability for rescue workers to still be communicating with the public within these kind of networks. Mm.
So Bluetooth has already sort of released a standard for Bluetooth mesh in order to utilize that standard. They are saying that it's expected to see about 6 months from now, but you may actually need a completely new hardware if your current Bluetooth device, like your smartphones or your fridge or your toasters, does not support Bluetooth 4.0 or 5.0. So if you're using like an older version of a phone, you will need like an upgrade. But if you're using Bluetooth 4.0 and 5.0, which is generally much the newer phones and newer stuff, which is great because it kind of just gives Bluetooth that software push that it always had, but you never utilized it.
It's nice as well because it means that you can use your existing devices with these new mesh peripherals that are going to come out. You don't need to have a whole new system to do it. So it is already sitting there in your phone. It's just making use of the technology you already have.
Which will be the tricky point because as we know how people are using Bluetooth, it will be absolute horrible innovations. Horrible.
Yes, it'll be Bluetooth in shoes, Bluetooth in socks.
Yeah. Anyways, we'll take a short break. When we come back, we do have King of the Crowd this week. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Balanced Frank Medium, BFM 89.9.
And we're back with Geek Squawks. My name is Jeff Sandhu with Matt Armitage. And yes, we have finally King of the Crowd. After many weeks of just absolute disappointment, we have a great product.
I found something I actually like.
Right.
Yes. This is a device called the Spinbox. It is a do-it-yourself portable turntable kit. Now, what I like about this is the whole kind of vinyl resurgence recently has been very kind of hipster based.
Yeah.
Now, this bypasses that because you actually have to make this yourself. And we all know that hipsters can't even make a cappuccino.
Yeah. No.
So, you know, it bypasses that. It is very nice. It's very affordable because a lot of the new kind of vinyl devices are quite expensive and they're quite complicated.
I'm looking at one and it's like 1,000 over ringgit.
Yeah, this is very, very simple. It's about $100. You get all of the parts that you need. It has its own speakers on board. But the nicest thing about it is that the box itself, the frame, is actually made of cardboard.
Oh.
So it's very, very simple. And it makes it very easy to customize. Now, some of the examples that Spinbox has even given have been people who've replaced the box that comes with it and replaced it with a pizza carton, for example. So it does allow you to be a little bit sort of fun and quirky and to customize it the way that you want. It should be launching soon, I think November.
Yeah.
And like I said, this is going for $100. So yeah, this is just a nice, simple, easy and cheap way for you to get in on the whole kind of vinyl experience. And they give you everything you need to make the kit, including the screwdriver. So you should be able to put it together in not much more than an hour, hour and a half. So yeah, Spinbox, if you want to get into old records.
Mm. It's on Kickstarter. Just look for Spinbox. It has 42 days left to go. As of the time of this recording, it's about $85,000 has been pledged.
Yeah,
so it's past
met its,
yeah.
It's met its goal almost three times. So
cool stuff. I'm actually quite keen, and I'm like, I'm looking at the package that, you know, you could actually get.
It's really fun. It's very light. It's very portable. Yeah. You can.
It's a
limited
edition for $159 for two.
For two, yeah, exactly.
Amazing.
And like I said, I mean, you can either plug it into your existing hi-fi, you can plug it into a Bluetooth speaker, or it comes with its own speakers. And of course, you can plug in another device and use it as a speaker for your phone or whatever device as well.
Matt, earlier on we talked about robots, and you know, we have talked about fake news many times. The one thing that we haven't really talked is about how robots might be able to create fake news, and the best kind of fake news. Remember, I think a few weeks ago, we talked about how an AI could manipulate what we say. It could actually inject words that we never even said, but it could do it because using our tonality
in
real time.
Creating a video to accompany it.
Yeah, so recently there was an article on Bloomberg that was, you know, it's basically the robots will make the best fake news. And I actually didn't really realize the amount of fake news that have been spread around. And just looking at, like, wow, there's actually so much of error within this fake news in terms of, you know, grammar and links. But when AI decides to get into this and people use AI for the wrong reasons, we're into huge trouble here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, at the moment, when we look at things like what happened around the US election last year, now, there were lots of sites that came into existence, and we heard about you know, these semi-criminal organizations where there are rooms full of people churning out these articles and posting and doing all of these things. All of this could be automated very, very simply in the very near future. You could have these articles being sourced and written, because it's very easy to take chunks from an article and just to add some other bits. An AI would be able to do this kind of stuff very, very simply.
And they are using this anyways. AI is creating news and stuff.
Yes, and at the same time, they would be able to absorb information from so many sources at the same time and churn out things that look very realistic and sound very, very plausible. So it is very scary.
Yeah, it comes back to one of those questions again. Like, you know, the article was just starting off like, you know, imagine that, you know, some kid invented like a technology that could let people, you know, walk through walls and so forth. Like, just because we could do it, should we actually do it? Which goes back to, again, the point of your first...
if we have a technology that allows us to walk through walls, yes, we should do
that. We should do it.
No matter what the cost, because that would just be so cool.
Yeah, which actually leads us on this fake news, leads us to a very nice or interesting story about a rubber duck in Japan.
Yeah, there's
been... melted.
There's been a case in Japan, and this is actually very, very serious news. This has been treated as a major incident. incident in Japan of national importance.
Oh, wow.
Yes, a guy, a Twitter user, so you know it's important because he's on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Donald Trump's on Twitter, so it has to be. Yeah.
That's what I mean. Mm. He had a little jelly plastic rub duck on the dashboard of his car. And he has been claiming that in the heat it melted and melted into a large puddle that still resembled the duck, still with the face.
Wow, with the eyes and the beak?
With the eyes and the beak and everything else. And this has become a huge discussion point in Japan over the last few days. And people have actually been examining the science behind it because it's become this whole debate over whether it's real or whether it's fake. Because to me, to be honest, it looks as though it's fake.
It looks fake to me.
Some people have been putting up lots of tweets that actually show the various angles and melting points and densities of the plastic and showing
it's amazing.
How it either is possible or isn't possible. And the debate is still
raging on.
So this is possibly the nicest side of fake news. Did the duck die?
Wow. I'm on your camp. I think this looks like a fake news.
I think it has to be a fake thing. I mean, the duck just looks too cute in its melted state. I mean, I've melted stuff in my car before.
It never looked like this.
It never looks like anything. I mean,
this looks too perfect to be true.
Yeah. Usually if something melts in your car, your first thought is, oh my God, I'm going to have to sell the car.
Oh, yes. Let's talk about Amazon, Matt, because we obviously, you know, the past few weeks, we've been talking about how Amazon is doing this. They're getting into fashion. They're getting into wholesale food. Now they're getting into meal kits, which we've talked about how we don't need this and stop doing this.
No, I mean, the meal kit thing is not necessarily a bad thing. It's big business in the US. There are a lot of companies who are doing it. Amazon, yes, HelloFresh in Europe.
Yes, yeah.
And Blue Apron is the big one in the US. Mm. Now, Amazon launched its Amazon Fresh earlier this week. And it did everything remarkably quickly. It trademarked the slogans and it registered all of these patents. And it launched the service literally within a couple of days' time to stop people from anticipating what they were going to do. Mm. It wiped apparently 2.5% off the value of Blue Apron in the first few minutes of trading following the news. But one of the reasons this is interesting is because you mentioned a story a few weeks ago where Amazon is now getting into the business of shipping out crates of clothing to people. And what we were talking about is there are a lot of companies who are doing all of these things, but the problem that they have is they have to set up their own distribution networks in order to do it. Amazon already has the distribution and the logistics. And that's why we're seeing it coming into all of these spaces. Mm. And they quickly take over and dominate from these people. I mean, it's almost the Apple model.
Yeah.
They wait for the other companies to try and to see if there's some
Make the market
of,
mature. Well, they make and the then market I come in.
Mature. They do a bit of a test. They see if the market's ready for this product.
Yeah.
And then when they do, they come out and they're able to do it at such at a scale and a much lower price point. Because the idea of shipping fresh food around a country is a logistics nightmare.
It's crazy.
Nightmare.
It's huge. America's big.
Oh, and America is huge, yeah. I mean, when you're talking about a country like the UK, it's relatively easy because it's a small country.
It is,
but, you know, you could fit, I don't know how many, 20 or 30 UKs inside the US, and there'd still be plenty of room to wander around.
So that's just one state in the US.
Exactly. And that's – so you need to have this kind of infrastructure. But although it's – you know, it's good for Amazon. It does have this real chilling effect on competition because nobody else has the scale to get into these businesses. I mean, one of the reasons that, you know, we were taking the mickey out of that juicer thing that came out so much was, because of the fresh fruit model, it could only reach 17 states in the US. So you've automatically limited your growth. And that's one of the issues with a lot of these food delivery services. The food has to be delivered fresh to people. And it's only companies with the kind of scale of Amazon who are already using that same network for other things that can make this kind of scalable and economic to do. And that is kind of a shame because it does mean that in the future, it does look as though Amazon is going to be the only company.
Mm. Yeah, and it's always that monopoly, that dominating that space. Yeah. Just talking about that Juicero thing, just recently I remember the CEO came out and, you know, spoke out about, you know, how people, you know, are slamming the company and so forth. So, yeah, Juicero
Can't imagine why. I mean,
he probably heard the show, Matt.
Yeah.
Well, he probably heard the show.
He might have done, or it might be the fact that I've got, you know, $700 US juices sitting in my house.
Let's talk about Geek Tunes, Matt.
Yes, one of my favorite bands, Waxahachie. They're a US indie band. They've been around for sort of two or three albums, I think. So they're back with their latest recording.
Very new, because it was only launched on July the 14th of 2017.
Yeah, very new. Fresh. I was on my streaming service that I won't name.
We kind of know now already.
Yeah, and it popped up. This is Waxahachie with Never Been Wrong.
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.